Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're breaking down why some consumer-facing tech stocks, and or not why, but what to expect from some consumer-facing tech stocks, and that's Snap, Spotify, and Twitter. And this is before they report their quarterly earnings results this week. And before we do any of that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcasts@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And one more quick note, also make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So we're going to do just a quick backdrop before we jump into what to expect from Snapchat parent company, Snap, Spotify, and Twitter. And that's the Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ, as most people probably know, tumbled to end last week. They were down over 1.5% on Friday as investors continue to worry about how the coronavirus might impact the global economy as travel gets restricted in certain areas. But we should note then that all three of those major U.S. indexes bounced back Monday morning. And now it seems like over the next, for however long there's uncertainty about this virus and its spread, it seems like it's going to hover over the markets, and Wall Street investors are going to have to decide if this is going to be a little bit of a pullback, something worse, or end up being just a little bit of a blip on the radar. And overall, it seems like the coronavirus-based bear case for the market is a little harder to see given overall market conditions aside from this virus as it spreads. So we have corporate earnings expected to return to growth in 2020, and then just Q4 earnings results have been better than expected. And in just the last week alone, the last week of January, we saw giants such as Apple and Microsoft and Amazon and Tesla all post blowout quarterly earnings results. And then we also saw last week the Fed maintained its low interest rates. U.S. unemployment remains near 50-year lows, and the U.S. economy is expected to expand by at least 2% in 2020. So all of that sets up what should be another solid year for the markets. And now we're going to jump into our three stocks we're talking about today, and those are those consumer-facing tech stocks who have seemed to fail to live up to some of the pre-IPO hype, certainly for these three companies. And we're going to start with Snap Inc., which trades under the ticker, as some might expect, Snap, S-N-A-P, because it's the first of these three companies to report. So it's expected to post its Q4 financial results after the closing bell on Tuesday, February 4th, so tomorrow after the closing bell. So looking back, Snapchat's parent company appeared to have found a little bit of its stride in 2019 as the social media platform has really expanded its user base and rolled out more effective tools for advertisers, which will be the key going forward. So if we look back, Snap stock is up over 250% since Christmas of 2018, 170% in the last year. So Snap was hovering at about $5 per share in December 2018, and it opened Monday at $18.65 per share. So it's been a pretty impressive run, and it's still trading under $20 per share, which might make it attractive for investors looking for some of those quote-unquote cheaper stocks, especially these cheaper tech stocks. And we should note that the stock has certainly cooled off a little bit from its really stellar pace over the last 6 months. But over the last month, it's regained some of that momentum heading into earnings, which could be a good sign for investors. And we're going to do just a little bit of an overview, kind of. So Snapchat's disappearing photo and video sharing features have really been able to stand out against companies like Twitter, we're going to talk about later on, and Facebook, even though Instagram, which Facebook bought, has successfully copied a lot of some of Snapchat's best features. But despite that, Snapchat's daily active users climbed 13% last quarter to 210 million. And we're going to dive into a few more of those numbers. So their total daily time spent by users watching its discovery feature which is key for advertisers, jumped by 40%. And it's also rolled out some new features. This includes allowing users to play video games. So the basic premise is they have more successfully rolled out features that are attractive to advertisers, and that's going to be vital going forward, because early on when Snapchat IPO'd, people on Wall Street were convinced that its ad business would really come into its own. It dealt with some struggles, but over the last year, it seems that they've been able to fine-tune that ad platform to become more and more attractive to users. And in general, anywhere that people can sell ads, it's going to be digital going forward. And any place that users are just becoming too hard to find in the days where people are canceling their cable subscriptions to sign up for Netflix and Disney Plus, which have no ads at all. So that's going to help Snapchat in general, just as part of a larger movement towards more digital advertising. So looking ahead, our Q4 estimates call for Q4 sales to climb 44%, and this would be just over $561 million. And then its overall fiscal 2019 revenue is expected to climb 45% to $1.72 billion. And then we're going to look ahead all the way to 2020 as well. So in fiscal 2020, their sales are expected to jump another nearly 40% higher to $2.37 billion. So this year we're calling for 45%. Next year we're calling for nearly 40%. And these would both mark growth that's nearly comparable to 2018's 43% sales expansion. So some really solid top-line growth we're expecting for Snapchat, all the way up to about $2.4 billion in 2020. And then perhaps more importantly, Snap appears to be headed for profitability. The company is projected to report a much smaller adjusted loss this year. We're calling for a full year loss of 18 cents per share. And this would be compared to a loss of 47 cents per share in 2018. And then if we look ahead, we're calling for a full year adjusted full year earnings of 2 cents per share in 2020. And just for a frame of reference, we're calling for break-even earnings in Q4. But they're headed in the right direction in that profitability as they continue to really grow that top line as well. So Snapchat, as I mentioned, didn't get off to the best start as a public company. It saw some early success and then trailed off. But over the last year, they've really proven to Wall Street that they might finally have a grasp on this advertising business as they continue to grow their user base. And we should also note that the company's Zach Strike number 3 hold, as just its earnings revision activity, has remained unchanged recently. And obviously it's still speculation at this point, but its biggest competitor is Instagram at this point. And Facebook does continue to face more and more political backlash. So obviously, anything that would come possibly with Facebook having to, say, give up ownership of Instagram or something like that, anything that would hurt Facebook in the long term could possibly be a benefit to Snapchat. So once again, they report their quarterly earnings after the closing bell on Tuesday, and it certainly looks to be a company worth considering. Maybe don't play it around earnings because you never know exactly how Wall Street's going to react, especially with a company that's been on such an impressive run. There could be a pullback even if they have a great quarter, but long term, it does seem like Snapchat might be a stock worth considering. And once again, it's still trading under that $20 per share threshold, even though it's gone on such a strong run over the last year plus. And now we're going to move on to Spotify, which trades under the ticker SPOT. And they are set to report their Q4 results before the market opens on Wednesday. So Wednesday morning, February 5th. And overall, if people aren't familiar with Spotify, we're going to do just a little bit of kind of the whole company picture, and then we'll take a look at what to expect for their fourth quarter earnings. So jumping back all the way to 2008, Spotify kind of helped kick off this paid streaming music revolution that has helped really reinvigorate the music industry in general, that for the longest time feared that illegal downloads would kind of just take over and there'd be nothing you could do about it. So we should note that streaming represents roughly 80% of recorded music sales. And this was in 2018. And this is based on industry reports, and Spotify is the world's largest streaming music company at the moment. So that's where they are in terms of the bigger picture. But despite that ability to shift this streaming market and encourage other companies to get into the space, the stock has certainly struggled since it went public in the spring of 2018. But if we look back more recently, Spotify beat our Q3 2018 estimates on both the top and bottom line at the end of October, and it's also posted it. It posted its eighth consecutive quarter of positive free cash flow, and it continued to see its paid subscriptions grow, which is really the long-term thing people need to continue to look at, is that paid subscriptions figure. So last quarter, their total monthly active users climbed 30% to nearly 250 million, and it outpaced the high end of its own guidance. But more importantly, the premium subscription figure, so it's users who pay fees every month to hear music without ads, that climbed 31%, so even more than their overall users, to about 115 million subscribers who pay that monthly fee. And this growth in their premium subscription business was driven by the continued success of its family plan, which charges $14.99 a month. And then also their student plans continued to grow as well, which are $4.99 a month for people who are in college. And we should note, though, that this user expansion has helped curb some Wall Street worries. And these longer term worries aren't really going to go away. And this is why, since Spotify went public, I've been a little apprehensive about the stock, because Apple and Amazon and even Google to some extent, but certainly Apple and Amazon, and especially Apple, offer pretty much the exact same offering as Spotify. Apple Music has grown pretty quickly in the United States. And luckily for Spotify, the iPhone company hasn't decided to try to undercut Spotify's pricing in any way. Their plans are the exact same price in terms of the individual monthly and student plans. So that's a good thing for Spotify. I would have assumed Apple would try to undercut them a little bit more, since they have more money to play with. But long term, that is the worry for Spotify, is that in a business, unlike the difference between Netflix and Apple TV, where they're offering different content, Apple Music and Spotify are offering pretty much the same exact service for the same exact price. So long term, that's really the worry, is how does Spotify, which is a much smaller company and far less diverse than Apple and Amazon, compete against these firms that have the exact same offering as their streaming music platform. So now we're going to go ahead and take a look at what to expect going forward. So looking ahead, we're calling for Spotify's Q4 fiscal 2019 revenue to jump about 23%. And this is based on our Zacks estimates. And then if we look to the full year of fiscal 2019, revenues are expected to climb 28%. And then in 2020, we're calling for another 25% growth to $9.42 billion. And just for reference, Spotify's fiscal 2018 revenue climbed just over 28%. So this shows continued solid top line growth. We're calling for 28% growth this year, another 25% growth next year, and this comes on top of about 28% growth in 2018. So some solid top line growth. And then the problem for Spotify is coming, at least in the near term, with its bottom line. So it's adjusted quarterly earnings are projected to tumble from 41 cents per share last in Q4 2018 to a loss of 48 cents per share this quarter. And then for the full year, earnings are expected to sink to a loss of 60 cents per share. And then if we look ahead, we're expecting that to improve a little bit going forward, but still we're calling for a loss of 52 cents per share in fiscal 2020. And then anyone who's interested in Spotify should note that the company has invested in their continuing to invest in their non-music business. So they're trying to invest heavily in podcasts, and they see that as an ability to grow their business overall, so users can listen to their music and their podcasts all in one place. And obviously that's premium subscription-based business is where they're going to generate most of their money from. It's where 90% of their money is coming from at the moment. But they're really still trying to roll out this podcast-heavy business. And I want to just read a little bit something from last quarter's earnings report just to give people a sense of why they think the podcast business is going to be a beneficial thing down the road. So they said, we continue to see exponential growth in podcast hours streamed, up approximately 39% quarter over quarter, and early indications that podcast engagement is driving a virtuous cycle of increased overall engagement and significantly increased conversions of free to paid users. So they see getting people on the platform with more reason to listen to because of podcasts, which also have ads, they see that as converting people to paid users. So if you're going to listen to the earnings call or pay attention to any of that, make sure to look for their updates on what they expect their podcast business to be going forward. But overall, Spotify is just, it's going to be, especially for me, it's a little hard to see how they are able to differentiate their business long term to stand out from Apple Music in any way that makes it a great investment long term. But obviously things could change going forward. And once again, Spotify is expected to report its quarterly results before the market opens on Wednesday, February 5th. And then we're going to close with a look at Twitter, which is, I would say, out of these three companies, maybe the most widely known of these three consumer-facing tech companies, and they're expected to report their Q4 results before the market opens on Thursday, February 6th, so Thursday morning. And obviously Twitter, I'm not a big Twitter user, but Twitter is a social media company that certainly remains very important in terms of being able to spread news instantaneously. Anyone can use it. And that's also a problem that some people view, that the space has kind of become strange as there's no real barrier to entry in any way. And there's the potential spread of this term you hear, disinformation. So it's certainly going to be a big issue along with Facebook in the run-up to the 2020 election. And that might make people want to just stay away from it in general, along with the fact that it certainly had a hard time as a public firm, but it does remain an invaluable platform for many companies and journalists. Obviously, the president uses it all of the time to spread information instantly. In long term, Twitter, like Spotify and Snapchat, they're ad business should be growing probably more than it is because they've tried to roll out more live streaming in the Netflix age, grab more rights to any video that they can. But it's proven a little bit harder for Twitter to really attract the ad business that they should be able to in this day and age. And we should note that Twitter stock is down 21% since going public. This is all the way back in 2013. At this point, they have regained some momentum. The stock is up 80% over the last 3 years, down 3% over the last 12 months, and 15%. They're down 15% since they fell short of Q3 estimates. And a big reason for the big drop after it posted its Q3 results was that its shares fell as its ad business faced some setbacks that I think Wall Street just thinks they should be passed at this point. They faced technical glitches in their ad targeting software that really hurt their ad business during Q3. It caused the pullback in ad spending from ad buyers, and then weaker pricing also cut into its ad revenue, which certainly isn't a good sign because during the quarter, they actually saw their monetizable daily active users, and that's how they refer to them, At Twitter, they saw their average monetizable daily active users climb 17% in the quarter to 145 million. So looking ahead, based on the fact that they've had a little bit of trouble in their ad business, especially recently, we're calling for their Q4 sales to climb just under 10%, with its adjusted earnings expected to fall about 10%. So that seems like a small number for a company that should be probably growing more than it is in this digital ad heavy time period. And then for fiscal 2019 as a whole, their revenues are projected to climb about 17%, and then another 15.5% in fiscal 2020 to reach about $4.14 billion. So we're calling for 17% top line growth this year and 15.5% growth in the next year. And these, investors should note, would both mark a downturn against 2018's 25% expansion, but not look too bad compared to 2017 when it actually saw its revenues fall 3.4%. So Twitter's kind of been all over the place. It remains an enigma on Wall Street. The stock is certainly seems maybe more like a trader stock than a long-term investment at the moment. But obviously, pay attention to anything they say on their Q4 earnings call as they look ahead to 2020. Maybe they see a big turnaround in their ad business. Maybe they see some streaming video opportunities that aren't public knowledge yet that they see as probably boosting their company long-term. But Twitter is currently, as Zach's rank, number 3 hold. And as a long-term investment, I would say that they probably need to prove once again to Wall Street that they can maintain a stable ad business and continue to attract users. But yeah, once again, if that ad business has been kind of all over the place, and it seemed like people thought they were going to be able to more effectively jump into this live streaming video business, which has been, I guess, a little unsuccessful overall. But overall, we have Snapchat's parent company, Snap, Spotify, and Twitter all reporting this week. And they're definitely big consumer-facing tech companies that millions and millions of people around the world, especially in the United States, use all the time. And they'll certainly be worth monitoring this quarter and then looking ahead to 2020 as well. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.